Ije Swamedhair Adiyajnanishvaram Mahabhibhuptyo Pachitanga Dakshinaye Tatair Vashishta Sita Gautama Divir Dhambanya Visrotama Sausaraspatin. Ije worshipped Ashwamedhai by performing the horse sacrifice, yagyas, adi yagnyam, to satisfy the master of all yagyas. Ishvaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahabhibhutya, with great opulence, Upachita Anga Dakshinahi, with all prescribed paraphernalia and contribution of Dakshina to the Brahmanas. Tatai executed Vasishta Asita Gautama Atibihi. By such Brahmanas as Vasishta, Asita, and Gautama, Dhambani, in the desert, Abhisrotam, inundated by the water of the river. Asau, Maharaj Ambarish, Sarasvatin, on the bank of the Sarasvati. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In desert countries where there flowed the river Sarasvati, Maharaj Ambarisha performed great sacrifices like the Ashvamedha Yajna, and thus satisfied the master of all yajnas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such sacrifices were performed with great opulence and suitable paraphernalia, and with contribution of dakshina to the brahmanas, who were supervised by great personalities like Vasishta, Asita, and Gautama, representing the king, the performer of the sacrifices. Purport. When one performs ritualistic sacrifices as prescribed in the Vedas, one needs expert brahmanas known as yajnika brahmanas. In Kali Yuga, however, there is a scarcity of such brahmanas. Therefore, in Kali Yuga, the sacrifice recommended in Shastra is Sankirtan Yajna. Yajna Sankirtana Prayar Yajantihi Sumedasaha. Instead of spending money unnecessarily on performing yajnas impossible to perform in this age of Kali because of the scarcity of yajnika brahmanas, one who is intelligent performs Sankirtan Yajna. Without properly performing yajnas to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there will be a scarcity of rain. Yajyat bhavati parjanyah. Therefore, the performance of yajna is essential. Without yajna, there will be a scarcity of rain, and because of this scarcity, no food grains will be produced, and there will be famines. It is the duty of the king, therefore, to perform different types of yajnas, such as the Ashvamedha Yajna, to maintain the production of food grains. Anat bhavanti bhutani. Without food grains, both men and animals will starve. Therefore, yajna is necessary for the state to perform, because by yajna, the people in general will be fed sumptuously. The brahmanas and yajnika priests should be sufficiently paid for their expert service. This payment is called dakshina. Ambarisha Maharaj, as a head of the state, performed all these yajnas through great personalities like Vasishta, Gautama, and Asita. Personally, however, he was engaged in devotional service, as mentioned before. Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayo. The king or head of a state must see that things go on well under proper guidance, and he must be an ideal devotee, as exemplified by Maharaj Ambarisha. It is the duty of the king to see that food grains are produced even in desert countries. What to speak of elsewhere? So translation, it was, in desert countries where there flow the river Sarasvati, Maharaj Ambarisha performed great sacrifices like the Ashvamedha Yajna, and thus satisfy the master of all yajnas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such sacrifices were performed with great opulence and suitable paraphernalia, and with contributions of dakshina to the brahmanas, who were supervised by great personalities like Vasishta, Asita, and Gautama, representing the king, the performer of the sacrifices. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shlakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulangayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinatarnam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunjavadi Paschateade Shatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhuvya Evacha Patita Anam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So good morning, everyone. Welcome to Srimad Bhagavatam discussion. So, this chapter 9, we have, canto 9, sorry, chapter 4. The canto 9 starts with a question by Maharaj Parikshit to Sukadeva Goswami. So does anyone remember that question? Just for I'm not trying to test it, it's just to keep awake. What is? Yes, he wanted to hear from the descendants of Varisvata Manu in detail, all the kings, including yes, Ambarish Maharaj. Therefore, in this chapter, it will be described. It's been described the main activities of Ambarish Maharaj. Exactly. Well, yes, that's how Maharaj Ambarish was not influenced by the course of Durvasa Muni. So in this, I'm not going to discuss the pastime because there will be next verses. We'll try to focus only in this verse. And we can see that Maharaj Ambarisha, although he was performing all kinds of Vedic sacrifices that are, most of them probably were taken from the Karma Kanda section. So one may wonder why it been the previous verse is describing, the previous verses describe Maharaj Ambarisha as a pure devotee, how he was engaging all his senses in the service of Krishna. It's a famous verse, no? Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varnane, how his words were describing, no, the Lord, and his karau, no, hands la karatala, no? His hands were engaged in Mandira Marjana, cleaning the temple of the Lord. So in this way, it describes how Ambarisha Maharaj, in spite of being a king, he was finding time to engage in service of the Lord, in the mood of Amna Atma Nivedanam, no? Engaging everything for the Lord. At the same time, he's performing these sacrifices. For instance, we have Ashvamedha Yagyas, which are very, very expensive. They are in Kali Yuga, these Ashvamedha Yagyas are completely forbidden. No, actual sacrifices of cows, horses, even taking sannyas in the like the Mayavadis is forbidden. And even if were allowed, the sacrifice would be a failure, because Srila Prabhupada explained that there is not qualified brahmanas in terms of knowing the capable of pronouncing the proper mantras in a way that the animal that is being sacrificed will recover the life. They used to use all animals, and then after the sacrifice the animal will obtain a young body. And this use of animals was to test the sacrifice. The sacrifice was being performed correctly. So these yagika brahmanas, they are similar to the smarta brahmanas who are nowadays, but it's like a cheap version, because these brahmanas were really expert and they were successful. But Srila Prabhupada was sometimes criticized by a group of smarta brahmanas for not being very ritualistic and don't do like introducing ISKCON all the rituals of the Vedas, and therefore he was criticized as someone who was spoiling the Vedic culture to such extent that when Srila Prabhupada was about to install the deities of Krishna Balaram in Raman Reti in Vrindavan, Prabhupada saw himself in the situation that having to hire brahmanas just to keep peace in Vrindavan with these brahmanas, because otherwise he will do the installation with his own devotees coming from different countries from America, in which these smart brahmanas even don't accept that you can take brahmana initiation if you are not born in India. And so Srila Prabhupada would have conducted the ceremony without these brahmanas from Vrindavan, Prabhupada said that nobody will accept the initiation. Actually, there is a purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam in which Srila Prabhupada explains. This is in the sixth canto. I have it here. It's regarding the conversation between Yamaraj and the Yamadutas and the Vishnu Dutas. And Yamaraj is glorifying the chanting of the holy name as the essence of all principles of religion. So Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, he said that Prabhupada is explaining he quotes the verse from Bhagavad Gita, no, Vedas cha sarvair aham eva vedyo, how the purpose of the Vedas is to know the Krishna himself, because he is the compiler of the Vedas and he knows the purpose of the Veda, which is to surrender to him. Prabhupada said, unfortunately, an intelligent people bewildered by the grandeur of Vedic yagyas want to see gorgeous sacrifices performed. So there are people who are following Vedas but are more attracted to the splendor, the fantastic aspect of sacrifices. Like yesterday I was in the doing arati, and then after that one gentleman came and he told me that he wanted to do a puja for his car. So it was a new car, and I told him that we don't do that. So I heard from authority, I said, but we can chant Hare Krishna if you want, just. And he said, no, I want a coconut. So I say, I'm sorry, I apologize to him. But so there are the, and I also remember I say to him because of, I remember Jay Jagannath when he met Himanshu for the first time, which is now Hari Shyam. He came to the temple for the first time because he wanted to do a karpuja for his mother. Asked him, go to the Hare Krishna temple and they will do a karpuja. So Jaya Prabhu, he smashed Himanshu at that time, and he told him that this is not the way. The way you can do the karpuja, you come to temple every day with the car, use it for Krishna service. And actually what Himanshu started doing, he started coming to the temple every day, and he became an Hari Shyam. And so it all the same, but I don't think it had the same effect. But actually that's the way, if you want to, that's the essence, is the holy nana using things for Krishna. It's not the ritualistic aspect. How do you use? Even the ceremony of initiation is not the essence of initiation. Initiation is a process which takes place from the first time that you receive knowledge from the spiritual master, and it's a process that goes after the ceremony of initiation. And so once Srila Prabhupada even gave initiation to Nrisimhananda Prabhu, who at that time he was a bhakta, a young boy, who couldn't live in the temple anymore because his parents were requesting him, and he was underage. And so Srila Prabhupada said, okay, you can go to your home. And this boy, he was afraid of his father because his father didn't want him to be a devotee. He said, so Srila Prabhupada gave him the name of Nrisimhananda. That way you will be spiritually protected. And that was initiation. He said, now I'll give you the name, Nrisimhananda. So there was not any ceremony of initiation. And Bhaktitirtha Swami also gave initiation to the Mahajan Prabhu. He was the leader, Sankirtan leader in our all Brahmachari party. And he was initiated in a forest by Bhaktitirtha Swami. They were just walking, and Bhaktitirtha Swami said, okay, I'll give you the initiation. And said, later on you can go to, if there is a ceremony, you can enter in the fire. But so the rituals and not the essence. And so why Maharaj Ambarish is doing all these rituals? It's the same that what Srila Prabhupada is doing, not to, because people are attracted to all these yagyas. They have more faith. And Srila Prabhupada continues in his purport. They want Vedic mantras chanted and huge amounts of money spent for such ceremonies. So otherwise it won't be enough. And so sometimes we have to observe the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies to please such an intelligent man. Recently, when we established a large Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, we were obliged to have Vedic ceremonies enacted by Brahmanas because the inhabitants of Vrindavan, especially the smarta Brahmanas, would not accept Europeans and Americans as bona fide Brahmanas. Thus, we had to engage Brahmanas to perform costly yagyas. In spite of these yagyas, the members of our society perform sankirtan loudly with mridangas. And I consider the sankirtan more important than the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Both the ceremonies and the sankirtan were going on simultaneously. The ceremonies were meant for persons interested in Vedic rituals for elevation to heavenly planets. Chadi Krita Matir Madhu Pushpitayam. Whereas the sankirtan was meant for pure devotees interested in pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada said, we would simply have performed sankirtan, but then the inhabitants of Vrindavan would not have taken the installation ceremony seriously. So in nowadays in South America, there are Agnihotra yagyas, very popular there. And sometimes the request is they know that somebody is into like yoga, Vaishnavism, they want you to do like Agnihotras. And so there is nothing happening in those yagyas because there is not qualified brahmanas. And there is no chanting of the holy name, nothing. But people are more interested in that than if you tell them, like, let's chant Hare Krishna, they say, but there is nothing. Want to see something, no? Like some fire or anything. So when there's initiations in Argentina, like many people come and the devotees try to do the best they can, the yagyas, and people become very like attracted. So in that way it can be used, but we understand that that is not the essence at all. And Srila Prabhupada also explained about our temples in ISKCON, that again, although the both processes go together, deity worship and Sankirtan, Sankirtan is essential, should be always there. You can have a preaching center without deity worship, but with the holy name and just a picture of Lord Chaitanya, and it will be bona fide. But if you have deities and there is no chanting of the holy name, only just worshiping and some Vedic mantras, that is not, won't be ISKCON or Srila Prabhupada's movement or Lord Chaitanya movement. So the verse that Srila Prabhupada is paraphrasing and also quoting in this verse is a verse which is in Srimad Bhagavatam, and explain that in this age of Kali, no, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam, so the personality who is always chanting the holy name of Krishna, the avatar for this age, Lord Chaitanya, who is describing Krishna Varnam, Krishna, and who is not Krishna Tusha, who is not blackish, but is golden. And he's always chanting the holy names with his associates. And he said, Yajanti Hisu Medasaha, an only intelligent person will follow his prescription of chanting the holy name. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada is saying an intelligent person who are more attracted to the ritualistic ceremonies. And where he was doing the ceremonies of Krishna Balaram Mandir for the unintelligent brahmanas, and for he was considering the devotees, even though they didn't know mantras, they didn't study like all the Vedas, maybe they knew the Upanishad, a few mantras from there, from Bhagavad Gita, but Prabhupada was considering them most intelligent than this brahmana who can recite the Durga prayers, so many prayers like are in the Vedas, and they can speak logic, nyaya, discuss philosophy. The Prabhupada, based on this verse, he was considering the devotees more intelligent because they are doing the proper yagya for this age. Once I was distributing books in Argentina, and I was about to cross the streets, and I started hearing Vedic mantras in my ear, like with perfect pronunciation. And I look at, and I have one man here chanting mantra, and so this guy, he finished, it was like 3 minutes chanting. I just stayed there. I was thinking, okay, that's Krishna's arrangement. And so after that, he said, this is the prayer of Arjuna to Mother Durga before the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And he left. He said, this is my offering to you. He said, like a gift. So there are many persons who may not they are not interested in chanting Hare Krishna, because then I told him, like, you come to temple. He said, yeah, I know, and then he left. But they are interested in learning Vedic mantras with the proper rhythm, many things, but chanting the holy name for them is very simple. It's too boring, because the holy name can be chanted in any metric. So just a meditation of chanting it looks so simple. So therefore there are many people who have a lot of capacity for studying the Vedas and Prabhupada's books, but somehow they are more attracted to this other aspect of the Karma Kanda. So another point here is that Ambarish Maharaj, he was engaged in devotional service, although externally he was doing all these sacrifices. Because he was a leader of Vaishnava, and he's trying to accommodate all people, and also he was trying to serve in all levels his people. For instance, it described that he was trying to bring water in the desert, and which means that something very difficult. Now we have California; they have they are spending like $1 million, every year in different solutions to bring water. Sometimes they clean the ocean water from the salt. They are very expensive methodology to bring drinking water. But Prabhupada is giving a more simple solution. Again, because it's so simple, it doesn't look sophisticated. People don't pay attention. But Prabhupada said, if you do Sankirtan Yagya, you will have rain. If there is rain, there will be water and grains. Then we have grains, enough food. And rain comes from Yagyas, and yagyas come from prescribed duties, and prescribed duties come from the Vedas, and the Vedas come from Krishna. So there is a whole process already given, and so the sophisticated society has so many arrangements, but it's missing one point. So we have so many good intentions to help people. We have social scientists trying to bring solution, and people from the hard sciences trying to also bring solution, but they are missing this simple point, worshiping the Lord. Because finally, as human beings, we are powerless. If there is no rain, no matter what you do, there is no life in the place. So Srila Prabhupada said, without food grains, both men and animals will starve. Therefore, yagya is necessary for the state to perform, because by yagya, the people in general will be fed. Chandramali Swami Maharaj, he used to tell us a story from New Vrindavan, in which there was some drought. It wasn't raining for a long time in the village nearby, New Vrindavan, and the devotees, they say, we can't make rain, we can't bring rain. So somehow they got invited to a radio to chant Hare Krishna and bring rain to the town. And so the devotees, very bold, they were there and very confident. They said, we're going to chant and there will be rain. And so they were in the radio and they were asking everyone listening to chant with them. So they start chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Please chant to everyone who was listening to the radio. Sure enough, after a few hours, it started raining. So that was a big event for the devotees. And many devotees have experience of chanting, doing like a big day of Sankirtan, either book distribution of chanting in the street, and then rain. Usually rains after. So in places where the holy name is chanted often, there is no lack of rain. Even the Ratha Yatras, we are always afraid that it will rain because there is chanting. So usually in the Ratha Yatra it starts raining, and then after a few hours the sun comes again, the sun rises. Okay, I think I will stop here. And so if there are any comments, if there is no comment, I will continue for 10 minutes.
You were mentioning, Prabhu, that the person came to ask if he can do car puja, and I was wondering if there is any say in terms of establishing, if we can accept those things for the sake of establishing a relationship with them so that they come more often, because sometimes, you know, if you tell Indians,
yes,
they see temples as a place where they can do these kind of rituals, and
yes,
and when you tell no, then they're
yes.
They don't want, then yeah. They get hurt, and they don't.
Yeah, we can establish, of course, relationship. In my situation, I was in the altar, so I couldn't talk after. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's what Jai Jagannath did. He tried to establish a relationship, so we can give prasad. But we can But just doing that, it can be cheating, just for the sake of relationship. And if you tell them, okay, we are doing your puja, and usually they will want to give you money after that. I don't know. I'm not qualified to answer because I don't know the culture itself. I remember that, the way I learned Krishna consciousness, it was like this. But coming from India, no, it's very common that, so we have to be very sensitive, perhaps. Actually, after I say that, I was feeling maybe I offended the person, but it was the first thing that came up from my mouth when he asked me.
Yeah, I didn't mean to say specifically in your case, but just generally.
No, but yes, you have to be, the idea is to engage everyone, and this is very innocent, they just want to do karapur. But they should know also that we are not. This is a play for pure devotional service, and many people can understand that, and they are welcome, and there are many. They can invite devotees to their house. Things.
Yeah, my question is, where is the karpuja mentioned in the Vedic
maybe
ritualistic,
Ratha Puja.
Vedic ritualistic portion. Because it must have been only within the past 200 years.
Yes, I haven't.
Where does that idea? Where does this idea come from? Why is it that Indian people, they want to? Is it they worship the car, or they want Brahmins to protect the vehicle?
I think it's for protection.
Because I was in Vrindavan also, and they're doing car pujas there.
Yeah.
Now, when you get a vehicle in India, you might require some special protection because the way people drive over there. I know in India, basically, instead of the seat belts, they just chant the Nrsingha prayer. That's their form of the seat belt. Therefore, when you go in a car, it's very right immediately. You know, for Westerners, sometimes long trip, but there. But anyway, do you know about the car puja?
I don't know if there's any reference, but I think they use auspicious symbols and auspicious items, so that's invoking. And the main item is Nrsingadev prayers. Like, they will incorporate all these things that looks fancy, but for the people. But then the main thing is, you know, they chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and then they take the devotees for a ride in the car as first, for, you know, first. So it's like service.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, there are like
it says Yad Karoshi.
Thank you, Mataji, for sharing.
Yad Karoshi Yaraj Nashi Yad Jahasi Dasi said.
You know, I have there's a much older gentleman that's a kung fu expert, and he's a Christian. And before he drives, he has, first of all, he has a little altar in his dashboard, and he does all these rituals or whatever, complete prayers before he drives every time. Mm-hmm. So I guess it would be the same concept, you know, I guess, to purify and for protection, because it's pretty crazy right now. Probably in any country. I know in some countries they have no speed limit, you know.
Yes.
No, I was just going to just experience that I had living also in the temple in New Jersey, that there was a lot of, at one point, so many rituals that became part of the regular program. And a very stark example was, and you know, they were very nice sort of traditional rituals of Vaishnavas. There was one that was Tulsi Viva, the marriage of Tulsi Maharani.
Shalagram.
And Shalagram Shila, and it became a year celebration, part of the program of the temple, and then the celebration became this that there was a sponsor, a couple, elder, you know, one of the congregation members who was sponsor the jagya, and then there will be a marriage jagya, and the sponsor jagyas, the sponsor congregation members will be sitting in the jagya like they're getting married, and you know, so it was something part like that. They were sort of representing Tulsi Maharani and Lord Vishnu. There was the Tulsi Maharani plant, and there was a little murti of Krishna. So, and it became, you know, a very, one of the most popular programs or yearly, you know, celebrations in the temple in Tohoku. Until my spiritual master became the GVC. And he put a stop to it. And the reason he gave, first to the administration of the temple and the leaders of the congregation, before breaking into the whole congregation that was very attached to it. He explained, this is not a program that Srila Prabhupada has given us. And in the program, the type of worship that Srila Prabhupada gives us of Tulsi Maharani is Tulsi Puja. So then he explains, you know, he gave a class, so during this Tulsi Viva day, he gave a class on the glories of Tulsi Maharani and explains that Tulsi Maharani, she is not married Krishna. Of course, you know, there's a past tense of her marrying Lord Vishnu, but in terms of Krishna, in Vrindavan, she doesn't. And so he explained, he gave, you know, according to the, you know, the Bhagavatam and you know, the teachings of our Vaishnava Acharyas. And then he said, the way we're going to celebrate it is we're going to do Tulsi Puja. So he have everybody doing Tulsi Puja, but, you know, the first year, some people were like quite broken hearted. They were like, oh, you know, like, but very soon, many of these, you know, I mean, there was a whole series of one that His Holiness Ramapa Swami stopped, you know, because it was not part of the regular festivals that Prabhupada has given us. So, you know, that was one experience that I had.
Thank
in
you.
Terms of rituals.
Yeah, that's more than mission of Srila Prabhupada, make a distinctive institution.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class, Prabhu. All these rituals and ceremonies, they made me think of the verse, Sarva Dharman Parityaja. Just abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from sinful reactions. Do not fear.
Yeah. That's it. Thank you. Nice verse.
You were mentioning the popularity of the fire sacrifices or that are taking place in Argentina, but you mentioned they didn't have qualified brahmanas or, you know, proper mantras weren't being chanted, and neither was the Maha Mantra being chanted. There's a similar thing that used to go on again as part of these yearly rituals in Tawako. There was a gentleman who had some registered organization, the International Society for Agnihotra. So so he would come and, because it was large grounds, and he would perform some sacrifice, not asking any of the brahmanas of the temple to participate. He conducted it, and whoever was participant was there. So he used to do that on a yearly basis. So, and it was well attended. So... yeah, so there were a few of those that were part of that series that Sipal was mentioning.
Yes, sometimes the devotee may be invited. But if they are chanting, they can be, maybe they can add Krishna consciousness there. Someone else? Thanks.
I was just going to recount that incident with Harisham, that he came to the temple, and I think the only person in the temple was Jai Jagannath. So he asked Jai Jagannath, I'm here for Kar Puja. Can you help me? And Jai Jagannath said, you don't come to the temple for Kar Puja. You come to inquire from Sadhu. So that was how he kind of, like you said, smashed him.
Yeah, they became friends then. Yeah, that's, I think what Suhal Prabhu was sharing about how the GBC kind of put things into, like, more in the mood of Srila Prabhupada, even though not everyone was happy. Like, it's important because these, there are little things that if we don't follow that is in the mood of Srila Prabhupada, then over the years the movement can become anything completely off of what Srila Prabhupada was intended. And the way I mean in most places outside India, that the way you learn Krishna consciousness basically is through the chanting, because only few devotees who had the opportunity to go to India, they may know all the rituals. So even the gurus that preach there, they're not, when there is deity worship, there is a certain standard, but it's not very sophisticated. But of course, cleanliness, you know, this punctuality, these are the things that Srila Prabhupada established. So you have to be like everything very clean wherever you are in ISKCON, any part of the world, the punctuality and deity worship. All these things are, these two are principles that Srila Prabhupada established. Then it may vary the ceremony, or the way we worship the deity. Some devotees, they do mudras. That's okay, but this is not something, for instance, like everyone in ISKCON is required to learn to worship the deity. If somebody knows, it can be, it's nice, it's okay. But as far as there is punctuality and cleanliness, that cannot be avoided. Like if you do like more rituals and sacrifice quality, like and sacrifice, then you are not on time with your service, or you are not clean. And the same with the ceremonies, like the devotees may do ceremonies, but the essence is that the chanting of Hare Krishna have to be there. Like sometimes the devotees perform in South America these different samskara for children, you know, like cutting hair, the anakuta. But the whole idea, they take the manual, you know, the handbook. And I have a friend that he was doing the yaga, and he couldn't pronounce the mantras. You know? And so one sannyasi, a German sannyasi, he said, "You don't know even the mantra," he said. But because we're chanting the holy name, it's fine. And because the idea is to, at least the essence why the devotees do this in samskaras in South America, it's not much about like the ritual, but it's just to give a sense of community. Like the child is born, and then there is a community of devotees who are there in important moments and chanting the holy name, so they will remember that. But it's not, there is not much faith in the ritual itself, no? Like, because if we don't do this ritual, something bad will happen to my son. The idea is just to give that sense of community, Vaishnava, that they care about their children, and the holy name will protect them from everything. No, that's the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even fear personified, no? It's afraid of the holy name. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.